584's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
I feel like someone just scored a hockey goal. It's time! Anywhere you are and by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Seriously, did someone get a hat trick?
All 4-7-7. Yeah,
Hard goal, force goal!
Wow. Scored by da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, scored by some guy.
I'm a Rick Harper, 4-7-7 Rick.
Jeez. Cheap plug for Rick's Electric there, by the way. Well, welcome to the final show of the year, 2020. Who needs you?
Yeah.
The way things have been, people have been talking about it, so.
Just end.
Yeah, just be done here.
Yeah, see, let me know at midnight. We live in a central time zone, so 12 central to be December 32nd, so you know.
December 32nd.
It won't end.
Right, December 32nd. Only in 2020, we're just going to extend the extra year out.
Right.
My goodness, what a year it has been. But thank you for coming along with us on the final show of our year. We've obviously got a lot of football to talk about tonight, so we'll get to it all. We'll start with the NFL and then review the college ranks, and that's going to be it. Then we'll talk about our sports persons of the year. I assume you came up with one, or?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, and I might have one that's a little bit different than most people, but I think given the year that we've had, it'll be a relevant choice anyway, along those lines. So everybody has traditions on their New Year's Eve, of course. The Hubbard family one, going back many years, has been to have pizza rolls. That has
don't
been
this tradition.
Well, you're not old enough to have experienced a lot of New Year's Eves, but it was always one that we did. And then we, of course, are Olive Garden fans. I don't know when we started doing Olive Garden every year, but that's our tradition.
Yeah, Fredo was so good.
It was good.
Well, I check it out for it.
Highly recommend the spaghetti with the multiple meats, by the way. Not just the meatballs, but...
Add-on, click.
I was like, yeah, I couldn't get enough of that. The only thing I didn't try was the grilled chicken, but I'm
ooh,
sure...
Ooh, we should try the grilled chicken.
Although, by the way, we should mention, excuse me, the air fryer is the greatest invention of the last few years. We had air-fried Oreos that Mama Legend made last night, Mrs. Loudmouth, and they were phenomenal. So, just got to give props to that one. So,
okay.
Also, the Legend and I have discovered what our new, I don't know what I call it, obsession or what it's going to be, but I don't know if many of you remember back, you know, this would have been easily 15 years ago. a show called Stump the Schwab. And it's phenomenal. This was the theme music.
Typical 2000 ESPN music right here.
Yeah. This was ESPN researcher Howie Schwab, who would go up against these guys from, you know, New York and everything else, just guys, but he's this...
And they're all named Mike.
Yeah, and they're all named Mike, they're all bearded, and they all work in some kind of IT field or finance.
Right.
And this hosted by this guy... Yeah.
Just like he talks, makes it even better.
So, Legend and I watched several episodes of Stump the Schwab the other night.
And 2 Minute Drill.
And 2 Minute Drill with Kenny Mayne, which is not as good because of my deep hatred for Kenny Mayne.
Never should lie, but okay.
Kenny Mayne's lame, dude. He's lame. But Stuart Scott, cool as the other side of the pillow, as they used to say. He's great, so we're... At some point, I think we're going to have to drag out a segment of Stump the Schwab and make it, you know, Lump the Loudmouth, or I don't know how I would call it, or Lap the Legend, I don't know. But
it should be like, you know, name the head coaches for every team, or do something like that.
Right.
Like What are they called? What was the opening round?
It's leading off.
Leading off,
where they would say, like, name the 25 members of the 2004 Boston Red Sox World Championship roster. And they'd have to keep going until they couldn't get them all. And be like, God, they were naming guys that I was like, really? He played for them?
They couldn't name, like, six of the Toronto Blue Jays from 92.
Yeah, they left out Jack Morris and
Devon White. No, like, really?
Some of the ones you'd think you wouldn't really take those for granted. So, but anyway, so that's going to be our new, I think, our new thing here this weekend. We're going to have to watch a few more Stump the Schwab and 2-Minute Drills. We were supposed to be watching bowl games tonight, but unfortunately, Mercari Texas Bowl got the Rona, so that's off. But we did have some interesting games today, and we'll talk about that in the college football segment here. We wanted to start out, though. It is going to be a critical weekend coming up, so we're going to start with it right away this week. We're going to get to the National Football League. The loudmouth is down by two.
Uh-oh. Your belt's on the line.
Desperation time.
You gotta get three right to win, so.
Or there's a tie, in which case, I don't believe there's a tiebreaker.
I don't think there's a tiebreaker.
There's no formal tiebreaker, so I suppose what we have to do in that scenario is invent our own tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how we're going to do that.
Trivia tiebreakers or playoff tiebreakers.
It might have to be maybe it's like the skins game where if you don't win the hole, it carries over to the next one. Maybe if the regular season isn't decided,
we'll have to go to the
playoffs. Have to carry it over to the playoffs. But I won regular season and playoffs last year, so I got the belt on the line.
Right. I need it. Is it much of a segment if we both don't win at least once?
No, exactly. Now, remember, all the games this week are going to be
divisional
games, and they are all going to be on Sunday, COVID willing. We'll try to update as we can. There have been some significant changes in the lines, and there have been some significant players that will be out this weekend coming up due to season clinching or COVID or injuries or whatever the case might be. So we'll see how this all goes, but I think it's going to be an interesting final weekend, to say the least, coming up. Let's start, Grant, with the we'll save the Vikings for last because it's a miserable experience. Dolphins at 10-5 on the road at the 12-3 Bills. The Bills are -2 in this game. They are still very much playing for the 2 seed versus the 3 seed. So a win assures them of the number 2 seed. A loss could drop them down to the 3. Not that it's a huge issue. The Dolphins will be without Ryan Fitzpatrick. He will not.
Tua's going to start anyways.
He's got the Rona, so he won't be on there.
Tua's going to start anyways.
Tua will start. I think the Bills have too much riding on this game not to play hard. And again, is the 2 versus the 3 a huge issue?
For them, yes.
Maybe not as much, but...
Well, then you get the whole sport playoff game.
Right, and it sounds like they will be able to have some fans at the playoff games from what the governor of New York was talking about. I think we've got a situation here where the Bills have too much firepower.
Right.
And probably have too much game. I'm going to take the Bills -2 here. It's not a huge line, but what are your thoughts?
I like Buffalo for what you said, that if they get the 2 seed, you're hosting 2 playoff games, which helps. And you have to have fans there, and that's too much for them not to take advantage of. Miami's good, but they would be back in their way into a playoff spot. So I'm taking the Bills.
Okay. So we'll take the Bills -2,
right?
In that one, we, last time out for the Bills, I don't know. Miami is the type of team that can keep it close, and that's why the line is what it is.
Yeah, their defense is kind of meh, but they're still making it work.
So. Well, and the thing about Buffalo though too is that Diggs is playing so well.
Right.
And again, as Viking fans, we know this. That's the way it's going to go.
Right.
But what I'm most surprised about with Diggs is that he hasn't popped off and he hasn't had any of those kind of temper tantrums or anything. He seems to be very content.
No, because I think Josh Allen wants to pass the ball. The Vikings want to run the ball. And when you're a receiver going to college, you don't go to, not to offend the service academies, but you don't go to Army.
Right.
Because
no, I get
because
it.
They run the wishbone. You want to catch the ball. You want to run that. You want to score. If you're Stephon in Minnesota, the main man's in the backfield. It's Dalvin Cook who's going to Adam Thielen. He's not going to you unless he absolutely has to. And I think he felt like he was the third fiddle in the Vikings offense. And so he goes out, lashes at management, trade me, he goes to Buffalo, he's having a great year. So it makes sense to me why he wanted to leave. I mean, I'm happy with Justin Jefferson instead of because Jefferson's happy to be there and Diggs wants to be somewhere else. But no, I think that Buffalo likes to throw the football and he likes to catch the football, so it's a perfect marriage.
Buffalo won the last one, meaning that was back in week 3.
Right.
Week 2.
Right.
It's 31-28. Josh Allen in that game threw for 415 yards and 4 touchdowns. Stephon Diggs had 153 yards and a touchdown. That's why I'm, you know, as good as Miami's defense is, they didn't show it the last time out. And right. And Fitzpatrick played that game and threw for 300 yards. Mike Gesicki had a huge day. So it's likely that the Dolphins, you know, they've already proven they can move the ball, but I just don't think they'll be able to be as productive.
Because Brian Flores is from the Belichick coaching tree, right? So he's going to want to make your second option beat you. So the Bills running game is going to have to get in gear because they're going to double Stephon. I just think they're going to have two guys on Stephon the whole game. They're going to have Byron Jones on him, and they're going to drop some safety over the top to make sure he doesn't go deep on him. Right. And so they're going to have to, Zach Moss, Singletary, they're going to have to go off against that Miami defense.
Ravens at 10-5 travel to the 4-10-1 Bengals. Ravens are 11.5-point favorites here. Ravens won the first matchup between these two.
The Ravens are winning in.
Ravens are winning in. Yes.
Yeah, Ravens.
27-3. They won over the Bengals last time. That was with Joe Burrow in the lineup. Suffice to say, I don't give the Bengals much of a chance here, even though they're playing better. I think we're both on the Ravens.
Oh yeah.
Minus the 11.5 in this one. Interesting game here. Browns,
mm-hmm,
home against the Steelers. Steelers at 12-3. Again, win, and they may not still be the second seed if Buffalo wins. If Buffalo loses, they could slide back into the 2 seed. The Browns need to win and in. The Browns got a ton of guys back off the IL this week.
Roethlisberger
will not play. At all, is what I am. What we are told. And that, Mason Rudolph will start.
The Browns are 1-1 away from making the playoffs. The first instance, Kelly Holcomb was the quarterback.
Yep.
And as much as you want to, I could see why you would pick the Steelers if you would pick the Steelers. But this is a personal pick. I want the Browns in the playoffs. I'm taking the Browns.
Okay.
And no Big Ben. And Mason Rudolph did not play well when Roethlisberger was out.
Yep. Agreed. But it's not like the Steelers have not played well at all, okay? And they have not played well for now several weeks in a row. But that second half reminded you of how good they can be.
They can be, but that's an illusion. They haven't played.
So are you taking the Browns?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking the Browns.
Okay. Because I'm two behind, I got to take a risk, and this is a game I'm going to risk it on. Because
you're risking Mason Rudolph.
I'm risking on Mason. Let me tell you why, okay?
Okay.
It's 9 points, first of all. It's the Browns, who in this kind of situation in the past step on their dicks big time.
Is it bad that I take the Steelers right now just to make sure you match that and make you pick the Browns?
Well, no. I'm going to take the Steelers +9. So that's, I'm not changing it. So you can.
You're making me think about what I want to do.
You now. Can decide. Do you want to come back to this one?
And you want to say if I'm backing in? I'm backing in as I'm still winning no matter what. So I could pick Pittsburgh and be okay.
Well, then I could certainly switch to the Browns. I think it'll be closer because it's the Browns. Because I think Mason Rudolph's not going out there just to lay down. And it's not like he hasn't started before either.
It's in Pittsburgh, right?
It's in Cleveland.
It's in Cleveland. Okay.
Pressure at home. Now, again,
and it's a
it depends on if Baker Mayfield opens the gate or not from the progressive commercial.
And it's a 9-point line.
It's a 9-point line. The over-under is 42. It isn't going to be high scoring.
Steelers getting 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Pittsburgh.
Seriously? All right, then I'm on the Browns. It doesn't. Whatever way you go, I'm going the opposite. So, what do you want? Do you want the Steelers plus or the Browns the minus?
That's such a tough pick. I don't know.
So this is when the rubber meets the road, son.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers in the 9 points.
You're taking the Steelers in the 9?
Because it's like Baker's balls are going to shrivel up a little bit in this game. So.
You're going to take the Steelers plus the 9? Okay, I'll take the Steelers plus the 9.
Oh, okay.
So
I see how it is.
All right.
I see how it is.
We're on the Steelers plus 9.
I want the Browns in the playoffs, but if they win by less than 9 points, that's still fine.
I reserve the right to change any of these. Okay. Right, okay. So you're going right for
so
right.
I'm saying,
at this point in the show, which is
I'm saying Browns win, but Steelers cover. Okay.
We are at the 15-minute mark of the show, and we are for right now. You're on the Steelers with me plus 9.
I'm on the Browns to win, the Steelers to cover.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. I'm technically picking the Steelers, but just to cover the spread, I'm picking.
The Browns. Yeah. So you're on your official pick is Steelers plus 9. Right. Okay. We might have to come back to that one because. There's no way we're getting out of this segment without at least two games difference.
Okay.
Because then there would be no point.
Fine.
Jets at 2-13, riding a dose game winning streak.
Who are they playing?
Patriots. Dumb. At Foxborough.
No, this is Belichick.
Patriots minus the 3.
Patriots. Belichick needs to end the season with a win. Patriots.
Okay. Well. I can't.
You're on some drug if you think.
I'm not taking
the
Jets
winning this game.
Nope. Cowboys are minus 2. At the Giants, Cowboys 6-9, Giants 5-10. The winner of this game, for all practical purposes, the NFC East is in one of those modes where you win the first game, you earn the right to watch the second game, right? So, just to recap, if the Cowboys win,
then you
and Washington loses, the Cowboys win the division. If the Giants win
and Washington loss,
the Giants win the division. And the whole game may be for naught because Washington plays Philadelphia, and in any scenario, if Washington wins, they are in a win-and-in scenario.
Right.
So we've got the Cowboys minus the 2 traveling to New York.
Mm.
In case you haven't noticed, you're going first on all these games, by the way. Since you are ahead.
Right. I just feel like the Cowboys are really hot lately. I just think the Cowboys are a better pick here but I like the G-men. I think they're a good defense. I like Joe Judge. I think he's an up and coming coach in this league. But veteran coach, veteran quarterback, great receiving core. I don't think the Giants can pull up with that many receivers, but the good ones. Zeke is a non-factor. He's not worth $95 million. Throw the ball. I'm taking the boys.
Okay. I'm going to take the Cowboys as well, minus the 2. I of all the games to desperate pick, this ain't one of them for me. So I'm going to pass on that one. Falcons at 4-11, travel to the 10-5 Bucks. 6.5-point favorite for the Bengals?
Wow. Okay.
Bucks. Falcons are 6.5-point underdogs in this one.
Bucks are playing playoff position Bucks.
Yeah, I don't see the Bucks laying down in this one. They, again... You see moments like them beating Detroit. Well, of course, everybody beats Detroit like that.
Right,
but
right.
What always confuses me about the Buccaneers is their inability to seemingly beat a really, really good football team.
Well, the Falcons aren't one of them.
And the Falcons are certainly not one of them. We've seen what the Falcons do. Nobody blows leads like them. However, they did keep it close in the last game. It was 31-27.
Divisional game.
But they just played 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And Matt Ryan had a huge day.
Right. Still taking the Buccaneers. Not taking my pick.
I can't...
I can't
fathom a circumstance.
This is Brady in playoff position.
This is one of them that I looked at, though. For right now, I'm going to stick with the Bucs minus the 6.5.
This is Brady in playoff position. He's going to want to bury Atlanta.
This is Atlanta.
Right.
They'll keep it close.
It's Atlanta.
And how close? We'll see when we come back to these.
Julio's not 100%.
That's for sure.
And just no.
All right. Packers at 12-3 up against the 8-7 Bears.
Stop there, Packers.
Packers are 5.5-point favorites on the road.
Packers.
Okay, you still...
Packers.
Doesn't matter?
No.
Okay.
Bears have no shot winning this game.
I agree. I think the Bears are going to lose.
Bears won't stop them.
I think the Bears, even despite their playoff density
but
in their own
hands.
Remember, they control their own density.
Yeah, right. They scored 30-plus points in 3 straight games. Well,
nobody cares.
Who did they beat again?
Who did they beat? The Vikings? Really?
A rebuilding Vikings defense. Yeah. Jacksonville. Really? Who was the other team? What was the first one? Houston?
Might have been. It was a couple of garbage squads.
Yeah, because the Vikings are injured and rebuilding. So I don't.
Yeah, they beat it was the Texans. You're right. It's 36-7.
So Texans.
And that's, of course, after they lost to the Lions.
Right. After a Lions loss.
Right.
So the tail end of their schedule was extremely easy going against Green Bay.
You look at the Bears' wins this year, okay?
They aren't great.
Vikings, Lions, Giants, Falcons, Bucks, which is a good win.
That's a good one.
Panthers,
yeah.
And then we run through a line. Not good. They really haven't beaten anybody.
They beat a team with a winning record. They beat
the Bucks, but then Tom Brady, of course, forgot what down it was.
Right.
And there are no other games on here that they lost to the Rams by 2 touchdowns, lost to the Saints in overtime, lost to the Titans by a touchdown. Lost to the Lions, 34-30.
Right.
So, I don't know. I can't see them making a serious threat in this game. The last time the Packers had them absolutely dead to rights in the first half, it was 28-10 at halftime, or 27-10, and it wasn't close. Devontae Adams will kill him, so we'll both take the Packers here.
Is there a corner who can cover him? I mean, seriously.
Jalen Ramsey might be one of the options, but it's a short list.
I don't think it's a long list. Who can stop him? I mean, it seems like there's someone who even DK Metcalf gets shut down once in a while. You put any number one corner on him, and he seems to have 100 yards and 3 touchdowns. I just don't get it.
Yeah, he's the horse. There's no question about it. Raiders on the road against the Broncos. Raiders are 2.5-point favorites here on the road at Denver. Stat of the day. Here comes that what stat of the day. Raiders have lost their last 9 season finales. Ouch.
Is it bad to come out and make a 10 and pick Denver? I don't know. Because the Raiders' defense is so pitiful.
It is pretty bad.
And they lost to the Chargers, who blow leads constantly, and they got beat by them.
Yeah, Raiders ran Denver out of town 37-12 earlier this year.
Was that at home? That was a home.
Drew Locke threw 4 picks in that game. Unlikely he would do that again. But nevertheless, it was a pretty thorough thrashing. Denver is at home this time, though. That was in Vegas.
Yeah, and I just feel like I want to take the Broncos just because I feel like their Raiders' defense is so pitiful.
It is bad.
And Derek Carr I don't know if he's fully 100% from his injury.
They ran pretty well with Mariota in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's one of those tough games that is bad defense, but their offense is fantastic. I'll take the Raiders. I don't.
I knew you would because you didn't have the guts to take the Broncos.
No, so. I just like, but it's Drew Locke and he can throw 4 picks in an instant. So
I'm taking the Raiders. I'm not picking that offense. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
Raiders minus -2.5. Colts minus -14 hosting the Jaguars, who have locked up the number one pick.
They have nothing to play for. Colts.
Yeah. Colts minus -14.
The Jags have nothing to play for. Colts.
The Colts have everything to play for, and they'll play hard. So we'll take the Colts minus -14. Chargers 6-9 at the 14-1 Chiefs, but the key here is that Patrick Mahomes will not play. He's going to get pulled because of the Chiefs having locked up everything. Will not play. Not sure exactly how many Chiefs starters are going to play in this game. Chad Henne is going to start.
The former Michigan Wolverines in it.
Yes.
You got beat by the Mountaineers.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
But
so not sure who, if any, is going to. It's not likely that the Chiefs are going to play anybody that has a remote injury problem right now. Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon Bell, Mike Nemers, all on the offensive side, probably not going to play. Likely Travis Kelce won't play either. Not sure that that's going to be the case, but looks like that's going to be the case.
Just because of that, I'm taking the Chargers, but you never know, the Chiefs could still win this game. But Chargers. Are you taking the Chiefs?
I'm getting 3.5, and they're at home, even if it's a depleted roster.
But they have no offensive weapons on that team.
I'm down 2 games.
You're desperate.
The Chargers are the worst choking team in the league.
Chiefs. You said it for me, Chiefs.
Maybe I'll take the Chargers. I think I'll take the Chargers. I'm going either way. So whatever way you go, I'm going the opposite here. This is opposite game for me. How do you really feel?
It's the only thing you're reading. The Chargers choke like dogs. I'm going with the Chiefs.
Okay, I'm going with the Chargers. Go ahead. All right. I'm putting my faith in you, Justin Herbert. All right?
But the Honey Badger's still back there, and...
All right, legends on the Chiefs.
They're going to lurk him all day. All day, baby.
I got the Chargers plus the 3.5. Let's go. Anthony Lynn, if you don't get this one done...
Your pink slip is on your desk.
You know what? If I don't win, Anthony Lynn's going to be gone. So, take the Chargers plus three.
Are we going to get a different
one, too? Well, that's the first official one. We're still up in the air on Steelers-Browns until you decide which...
Until you
stick your finger in the air and decide which way the wind is blowing. You see that?
Steelers.
You're going Steelers?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm taking the Browns.
Go ahead.
All right. Ugh. I'm going to regret that, aren't I?
This is still a Steelers defense.
Steelers, you get the Steelers plus the 9. I got the Browns. I'm going to go for it.
You're relying on a Baker Mayfield that shrivels up in
Browns. Well, no, you already argued the other side of it for me. Mason Rudolph and the shit Steeler offense.
They're going to wake up at some point.
Okay, so we're officially different on that game. All right, that's 2. Mm-hmm. Cardinals minus 3 at the Rams.
Here's where this game differs. Who has a starting quarterback? That'd be the Cardinals. Who has something more to play for? The Cardinals.
Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
That's a new quarterback horn.
John Wolford with the new quarterback horn. John Wolford from Wake Forest, and we already went through the litany of non-Wake Forest excitement that has been in their football program.
Chris Paul went there.
Tim Duncan?
We
already beat that topic to death.
That's it.
I believe Kyler Murray is going to play.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the key in this game, is that Kyler Murray is going
to
play.
Yeah, and all the Rams have to pray for is a Packers win. So, I mean... That's a pretty light...
Well, remember, if all these teams wind up tied, the Rams are out. That's the tricky part here for the Rams.
But the Bears have to win against the Packers.
And that doesn't seem likely to happen.
And the Packers playing for number one seed, so...
Again, agreed.
So,
remember, Rams won this by 10 here about a month ago.
It's a bad matchup for the Cardinals, but there's no Jared Goff on the other sideline, so I'm taking the Cardinals.
Okay. No, and that's fine. I'm going to take the Cardinals as well, because I don't think without Goff in the lineup, I'm just not sure. Not that they were that great with Goff in the lineup to begin with anyway, but it's the way that goes. Seahawks minus 6 against the 49ers. Seahawks 11-4, 49ers 6-9. Seahawks, again, that strange team where I just never quite know what I'm going to get some weeks from them.
They act like they're 14-2, but they're really just...
Yeah, and they think they had this big defensive resurgence last week, and I'm like, really? Beat the Niners earlier this year. Not exactly a great defensive effort, but it was a 37-27 win. Earlier in the year, DK Metcalf had a huge game last time out against them for 161 yards and a couple of scores. Again, though, the Seahawks are one of those teams that they can go out and look great. You know, they blasted the Jets, but then they go out and lose to the Giants. They handle Washington, but then they go out and they've lost to Buffalo, and I don't know.
Yeah, but they've lost to some good teams, but they've lost...
Well, the four losses they've had, and let's be honest, the Vikings should have been one of them.
Right, 31-30.
Right.
So.
But they barely beat the Patriots, they barely beat the Vikings, they barely beat the Cowboys. They lost to the Cardinals in overtime.
This is going to bite them in the playoffs.
They lost to the Bills. They lost to the Rams. And they lost to the Giants.
This is the Seahawks Achilles. So they played too many close games. Like last year against Green Bay in the playoffs, it bit them straight in the ass. When they play them from behind, they're behind the
line has moved to 6.5, by
the
way.
Like, they just can't blow people out. They can't win by 10 or more points in a game, it seems like. They have to win by a touchdown or less. Beat somebody in the ground.
So who are you picking?
Seahawks.
Okay, I'm going with Seahawks too.
Yeah, right. Like if you pick the Niners.
49ers don't have the horses to do it.
They have Kittle back. That's about it.
Yeah,
so.
That's still not enough.
Bobby Wagner can cover him, I think.
Defense. Saints at 11-4 travel to the 5-10 Panthers. Saints are still very much playing.
Something to play for,
right?
Saints.
And they go into a Panthers team that's, you know, for all practical purposes, their season's been over for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think, regardless of how much rest they give Drew Brees, it's going to make much difference. Give me the Saints.
Yep, Saints.
-6.5 in that one. Titans on the road at the Texans. Titans at 10-5. Texans 4-11. Titans are 7.5-point favorites. Coming off that loss to Green Bay, not a good one. I don't expect the too much difficulty here.
Right.
But, I mean, again, all these being division games adds kind of an extra level of, you know, intrigue, if that's the word.
Yeah, to Tennessee, they got to get something going. I mean, I don't think they want to lose two games in a row after you get your ass handed to you by a Packers team. That if there wasn't snow on the field, it may have been a little bit different. May have been a difference, but I don't know.
This was a shootout last time they played. Yeah. It was 42-36 in overtime.
I just feel like the Texans are going to make a mistake somewhere in the fourth quarter if they'll lose this game, because they've done this so many times where it's like they're going for the win, botch snap. They're doing fumble, pick, something. Tennessee's running game is still really good. Tennessee.
Well, yeah, and this was the game where Derrick Henry ripped off that 94-yard touchdown jaunt. Yeah. He had over 200 yards rushing in that game. Big difference from the first to the second game. Will Fuller was around for Houston there.
He's not now.
So. I think the Titans win, and I think they walk away easily with this one as well. Oh. Washington football team against the Eagles on Sunday night. Skins. Not Redskins. Skins are 1.5.
Again, who is their starting quarterback?
Right now, it looks like it'll be Alex Smith.
Not Heineke? Okay.
Yeah, look, he didn't practice yesterday, but that was planned. It sounds like every intent is for him to play on Sunday.
If Heineke was playing, I would have taken Philly. But Washington, this would be a great comeback story for Alex Smith, too. Yeah, Project 11. All that crap comes back.
That's not crap, by the way.
No, but after all the surgeries and stuff is what I meant. All the other crap that happened in his life after the injury comes back, leads the team to the playoffs. Now that's come again. Rename the comeback player the Alex Smith Award, because that's really what the award should be renamed, because he's going to win it no matter what. I'm taking the football team.
Yeah, I'll take the football team as well to win here at the -1.5 point. And now. The Vikes. We finally get the last preview of the Vikes. Dalvin Cook's father passed away. He will not play this weekend.
Understandable.
Alexander Mattison is in concussion protocol. Not sure if he's going to play.
So it's Mike Boone and Amir.
So it looks like it'll be Amir Abdullah against his old team with some Mike Boone mixed in. Maybe there'll be a little more of the baconing CJ Ham to the ball. But Vikes won couple months ago, 34-20.
Well, that was with a healthy Dalvin Cook and the Lions that only had many defensive players around the field at one time.
Right. So Kenny Galladay won't play for Detroit.
That doesn't matter.
So,
this is going to be an ugly football game.
Riley Reiff was placed on the COVID list, offensive line's already just good. Kyle Rudolph is done for the year.
Don't care.
Also going to be. So.
I mean, how many? There's like three more injuries you just piled up in the span of 30 seconds, and it's just like. They can't keep players healthy this year.
It's just the
injury bug went to Philly, then went cross country to San Francisco, coming back up to the North Star State.
Yep.
I'm taking the Lions to win this game. I don't think the Vikings care. I don't think the Lions care. It's going to be a horrible football game.
So you think the Lions plus the 7?
Lions plus the 7.
You stole my pick because I was going
to
do that.
Are you seriously taking the Vikes to win this game?
Well, I was going to say, I'm going to get you on this side one way or the other because this was my swing game. So whichever one you want, I'm taking the other. Because either I believe in my team.
Neither team has anything to play for. So, I mean, the Lions may as well just.
The line is 7.
Yeah, Lions. Lions. I think Thielen and Jefferson will have good games. But this is going to be the game that shows that the Vikes need a new quarterback. Watch Kirk get sacked.
So you're going to pick the Detroit Lions.
I'm taking the Detroit Lions in this game.
You're going to take Detroit.
I am.
Is that your final answer? Because we're going to close the pick segment here in a second.
That's my final answer.
So,
Detroit. So
just so I'm clear,
yep.
We're going to make sure we get this on the record. You and I are differing on three games.
Correct.
All right. You are taking the Browns, or excuse me, I'm taking the Browns -9, and you're taking the Steelers.
Yep.
I'm taking the Chargers +3.5, and you have the Chiefs. And you have the Lions +7. And I have my team, which I believe in, is going to get me one more win.
This would be a game the Vikings would win to screw up a draft pick. So
or to screw up a picks contest.
Right. No, just screw up a draft position.
So if I sweep the board, it's a title for me.
Right. If we split, we'll go on the next round of the playoffs.
Well, I don't... it's possible one of these games could push, because if you look at the Viking-Lion line at 7, we could tie, right, and then I could win the other two. But anyway, that's where we're officially at. So we differ on 3 games.
Right.
Pittsburgh and Cleveland. San Diego, Kansas City. Los Angeles and Kansas City.
Yeah, there you go.
And Vikes Lions. Skull Vikings. I will bake the Viking t-shirt back out for the weekend.
I might just throw it in.
Because I need it. We'll get you your Detroit Lions sweatshirt later on.
Especially wearing the Liberty shirt already, so.
I wish that would get here. I wonder if it must be lost in ordering somewhere on Amazon. Something like that. But
no, but I just... the Lions, to me, don't... Neither team screams, "We want to win another game." Neither team wants to win another game.
True.
They're both probably going to draft a quarterback anyway. So
Skull Vikings, baby. One more time.
So
one more time for the loudmouth.
One goes 6-10, one goes 7-9, because I ain't beeping
going
7-9. We'll get Trey, they'll get Zach Wilson, we'll be good.
Moving on. It is the most wonderful time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time. I got bad beating out of one game, that's for sure.
Well, some interesting, just to recap the games that have already been played. Yeah, Miami and Oklahoma State in the Cheez-It Bowl. Disappointing that Cheez-Its were not dumped out at the end, were they? Okay, good.
Yes, right. My gummy did get Cheez-It. Well, I'll tell you, that's probably like a really good, it's better than water. I mean, I'm not getting dumped with Cheez-Its.
Well, sound engineer Ben.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, all over that.
Right?
The sound engineer Ben isn't really talking to you much today.
No, I may have beat his ass in Mario Kart, so he's a little mad at me right now.
Wow. Can't believe we're talking about Mario Kart on this show. Anyway, Oklahoma State wins 37-34 and covers.
And I got bad beat.
So you got bad beat on that one. So the Loudmouths lead stretches to 2.
Right.
Because Texas beat the living shit out of Colorado in the Commander Bowl, or the Alamo Bowl. I forgot to play the clip, sorry.
That's okay.
But Texas dominated that game. Bad mayonnaise in Wake Forest as they lose the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Who's the quarterback for Wisconsin? Graham Mertz. He broke the trophy in the locker room. Wisconsin wins that one 48-28.
It wasn't really his fault. It slipped off the base of the trophy. So.
Yeah, 42-28.
It's a piss-poor-made trophy.
They beat Wake and cover the 7. Oklahoma beats the living crap out of Florida, who played with the Florida Junior Varsity squad.
Right.
Kyle Pitts did not play.
Curious. Tony didn't play.
I mean,
nobody played.
There were no wide receivers. I believe they were actually going onto the beach and trying to find players in Florida.
In Texas?
No, in Florida to come with them and play wide receiver. It was that bad. But anyway, Florida loses by 35. Oklahoma and my boy Spencer Rattler, still with one of the greatest names around.
Not really.
Dominates 55-20. We both in Oklahoma covers the 3. Best part of today was watching Tulsa, Mississippi State for the fisticuffs afterward. We got Mississippi State guys kicking Tulsa guys at the end, and of course in the Armed Forces Bowl, why wouldn't it end with a war?
Right.
So, but Mississippi State, as we predicted, does getting 2.5, wins it outright 28-26. And what was not exactly a display of high-tech offensive football, but nevertheless, Mississippi State, the Bulldogs win that one. The offer pad, Arizona Bowl, Ball State destroys the fraudulent San Jose State squad. 34-13, so the MAC champions get it done over San Jose State. That was we had both picked Ball State on that one to win outright. Plus the 9.5, they covered it easily. Liberty Bowl. Despite Army falling to West Virginia 24-21, the Black Knights cover and played a pretty good game in the process.
Right.
So, and of course, we mentioned the Texas Bowl has been canceled. So, going into this weekend, the bowl picks,
if you
had bet money with the legend in the Loudmouth,
you would have won.
You would be very, very much ready to pay off your Christmas bills. The Loudmouth is 14-2 in bowl season. The legend 12-4. So the roles are now reversed.
Right.
As we go to the college picks.
Is these the last bowl games?
Well, no, we've got the CFP national title game. We'll have one after this. But yes, these are the last of the bowl games. So Let's begin with the appropriately named Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I mean, it makes me hungry even just reading about the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
If it was the Wendy's Bowl, then we'd be all for it.
Seriously? The Wendy's Bowl?
Love the chicken sandwich. Oh, better Chick-fil-A's.
Well, whatever. Anyway, Chick-fil-A has been sponsoring this one for a long time.
It will be open, so...
Yeah, it will. And it will be open for the game, which is being played in the Mercedes-Benz
Stadium
in Atlanta. Again, a lot of guys in this game you've heard of play before, no question about it. Joe Burrow comes to mind, was the MVP last year, of course, in the playoff game. Greg Ward Jr. from Houston, you remember him.
Yep.
Johnny Manziel, your boy, who you wanted to draft, wanted to be in there. Not as many, though, as you might think. They have an offensive and defensive. C.J. Spiller, remember him?
Yeah.
Little Buffalo Bill.
C.J. Spiller.
Matthew Stafford, who you're banking on this weekend.
Right.
Matt Flynn, who got pushed aside by Russell Wilson, right? Is that how that happened? Some other good ones. Remember Orlandis Gary?
I do.
Yeah. Running back. Champ Bailey was the MVP. Defensive, again, offensive, defensive. And Hines Ward.
Yeah. George is playing this game a lot, apparently.
Yeah, Tiki Barber, Skeet Jones from West Virginia, which is also one of the great football names. Skeet.
Pull.
Yeah, Pull Skeet. Jim Kelly. You may have heard of him. He was pretty good. Chuck Long. Remember Chuck Long? Eric Kramer. There are a lot of shitty Detroit quarterbacks that have been the MVP of this game.
Shocking.
I mean, look at that. Look, that's quite the list. If you look at that list alone, Matthew Stafford. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Chuck Long, Eric Kramer, it's like a who's who of crap Detroit quarterback.
It's like the Lions sent scouts to the Peach Bowl, and they're like, get him.
Get him right now.
Well, any Georgia quarterback, get him.
Seriously.
JT Daniels will be Stafford's backup in a couple years.
Oh, man.
If Stafford's still playing.
Oh, God. That's a horrible list of quarterbacks. I mean, really. You can't get much worse.
So Andre Burden playing that game.
So this year's matchup, this is the traditional game for the little guys. It's number 9 Georgia at 7-2. They are taking on Cincinnati, the group of five's best, so to speak. And, of course, you know, after all the boys from San Jose and the fraudulent Roosters and everybody else has been pushed aside, Cincinnati was deemed the best of the group of five. So they get the Peach Bowl slot against the Bulldogs. The line is 7, and the Sagarin is about 7. So Georgia-Cincinnati, I will tell you right now, I'm not picking an American conference team to be the Southeastern team. I'm taking the Bulldogs minus the 7.
I'm taking Georgia. I just... To me, Cincinnati, it's a great defense. Can you score enough points to win the game? I think Georgia finally can. I think Georgia, they finally figured out the quarterback problem. Start J.K. Cannon as they should have done that the entire season. You got still have George Pickens. They're a good offense when they figure out the quarterback position. They have. So I like Georgia to win this game.
Okay. Moving on to the Vrbo Citrus Bowl.
Vrbo.
Vrbo, which is, of course, Vacation Rental Marketplace.
Nice.
Citrus Bowl, previously sponsored by CompUSA.
A great place to find the place, right?
So yeah, exactly. CompUSA, which was like software warehouse type thing. Ourhouse.com.
Our house.
In the middle of our street. Our house. Buffalo Wild Wings.
Nice.
And Capital One.
Yep.
And Overton's. Currently we're Vrbo.
Vrbo.
So, it used to be played, like I said, Capital One had this game for a long time, but then they upgraded apparently to the Rose Bowl.
Right.
So, this one's at Camping World Stadium, like apparently 26 other bowl games. Yeah, that
there
have
are plenty of stadiums in Florida. Can we put
all the bowl games apparently are either played in Frisco, Montgomery, Orlando, or
could you put a game in like Jacksonville or something? I don't know. Are the Jags busy this weekend? Or?
Who knows? No. MVPs of this game include the illustrious likes of Benny Snell, who and Jerry Jeudy, two recent graduates of the game there. Alshon Jeffrey, as you may remember, was of some fame. Chad Henne, who we just spoke about, is going to be starting this weekend, was the MVP of this game. Ronnie Brown and his band of renown from Auburn, former Miami, and he was the Wildcat guy.
Oh, yeah, Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown. Plaxico Burress, who, when he wasn't shooting himself in the leg, was catching touchdown passes in the Super Bowl. Fred Taylor, the most, one of the most underrated running backs in NFL history, how good Fred Taylor was at that time playing for Florida. There was this kid from Tennessee that played quarterback and won the MVP in 97. You may have heard of him, Manning.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Son of Archie, he was pretty good.
Yeah. Some other names in here you'll know. Garrison Hurst. And then the million-dollar arm and 10-cent head himself, Jeff George. Terry Allen, who ran a lot for the Vikes in the 90s. Andre Bruce, who was the number one overall pick.
And then sucked.
And really sucked.
Yeah. Let's see. Shot a pizza guy with a BB gun. Supposed to next Lawrence Taylor. Never worked.
Yeah.
It was a tight end for a little bit. Yeah, he was a
guy. Yeah. By the way, we have to go back to January of 1951 in this game. MVP who played defensive end, Charles Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen. No relation. Anyway, moving on. Just a couple other names in this that were interesting as I looked through this list. Freddie Solomon and Jack Lambert, same year. But Tampa with Kent State. That was a
Tampa. Yeah, right.
Back in this is like
Tampa Seahawks, right?
No, this was the I don't know, maybe University of Tampa. I don't know what their name is.
Seahawks?
You think so?
Yeah.
Want me to check?
Yes.
All right.
See if I really know what it is.
Nickname? Oh no, their mascot are the Spartacus. No, they must have changed that. University of Tampa.
Spartacus?
Yeah, that's what it says. Wikipedia is never wrong.
Right. What's Spartacus?
The Spartacus. I'm just saying, that's what it says.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but...
I wouldn't doubt Wikipedia, would you?
Yeah.
Anyway, this year's matchup, Auburn at number four... Or, excuse me, not ranked, but number 14 in the Sagarin. Up against Northwestern, the Fighting Reese Davises come in at as a 3.5-point favorite in this one, Grant. The odds on Sagarin would say, however, that Auburn should be a 5-point favorite.
Auburn and Northwestern.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, this is not exactly an easy one to pick either. I would.
I feel like I want to pick Northwestern. But I don't know what you're going to pick, but I'm picking Northwestern to win.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pick Northwestern too. I just can't.
I'm not back. I'm picking like it's gonna win. If I don't win the pick, not that big of a deal.
So. Okay, good enough for me. I'll go right with that one then. Northwestern at -3.5. The one of my favorite games, the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. You just gotta love Tax Slayer.
It's been a thing for a while now.
It has. Used to be the Progressive Gator Bowl, the Konica Minolta Gator Bowl, the Toyota Gator Bowl, the Outback Steakhouse Gator Bowl before the Outback Bowl got its own bowl, and the Mazda Gator Bowl, but. This one, now they play it in Jacksonville because, of course, they would play it there.
At least there's one game played.
Right, the one game at TIAA Bank Field.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Tax Slayer Bowl. This year, or excuse me, let me just go back briefly to the Gator Bowl history here just to make sure we have some material to talk about here. Again, this is one of these goofy games where they do the offensive and defensive. Okay. Well, no, then they started doing it later, so we're good there.
Okay.
Some names you may have heard of. Get the Trace McSorley music ready. Well, I guess I didn't cue it up for you, but I'm sure you can find it. Interestingly enough, both quarterbacks for the Ravens, so Lamar Jackson and Trace McSorley, played in this game and were MVPs. Very famous. Todd Gurley was an MVP in this game. Ryan Finley, now quarterbacking the Bengals. I said if we played, if I mentioned his name, we're allowed to play the song. So there you go. Some guy named Calvin Johnson.
He's pretty good.
He wasn't bad. He was an MVP in this game. Some guy named Michael Vick was in this game too, and he was very not bad. Donovan McNabb.
He's pretty good.
He wasn't bad. Went to a Super Bowl. Eric Rett. Remember Eric Rett played running back for Florida.
No.
You don't remember Eric Rett?
Should I?
Oh, he played for the Bears, if I'm not mistaken.
The Bears washed out a running back.
No, I'm sorry, not the Bears. He played for Tampa Bay, Baltimore. And then, of course, he went to Cleveland after that, and his career pretty much died. a couple other guys that are maybe forgotten about here. George Rogers, very good running back in the 80s. LeVon Kirkland, many years at the Steelers, was with Clemson.
Huge.
He was good. Thurman Thomas.
Yes.
When he still remembered to put his helmet on.
Right.
Kelvin Bryant, maybe the best running back in the USFL ever had outside of Herschel Walker.
Right.
Very quality choice there. Jimmy Cephalo.
No.
might be better known for hosting game shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, hey, who caught Dan Marino's touchdown pass that set the NFL record.
He hosted Donald Trump's first game show, which
was of course Donald Trump had a game show.
Trump card.
Of course he had a game
show. It was a shitty show, by the way.
Of course he had a game show.
Archie Manning.
From Drew, Mississippi.
Ole Miss quarterback, of course, back in the 70s. Fred Biletnikoff.
Yeah, Archie Manning has his own song, right?
Yes, I've heard this. And then John David Crow from Texas A&M.
Not John David Booty.
No, not John David Booty, but he played for the Cardinals. And Vince Dooley, the old Auburn coach, was the MVP for Auburn in 1954.
Of course he was.
This year we've got NC State at 8-3, who just barely beat Liberty via the blocked field goal, playing against Blue Moon of Kentucky. Mm. Keep on the shining. Kentucky a 2.5-point favorite after going 4-6 with a tough SEC schedule. NC State, you know, pretty decent 8-3, playing Power 5, one of their better efforts of the year. Kentucky a 3-point favorite in the Sagarin, 2.5 points on the line.
NC State.
Done. All right. NC State it is. Plus the 2.5. All right. The Outback Bowl. Good day, Mike.
I'm Joe Ingles.
Is up next, yeah. Don't get me started on Joe Ingles. This used to be the Hall of Fame Bowl.
Actually,
I take that back. It used to be the Cigar Bowl. I'm not making this up. But yes, it's the used to be the Hall of Fame Bowl.
Okay.
David Pollock of Game Day fame was the MVP this one a few years back. Drew Brees was pretty good. Melvin Gordon.
Okay.
Bobby Engram. Remember Bobby Engram?
I do.
He had a decent career.
He's okay.
Tyrone Wheatley.
Yep.
Heath Shuler, now a congressman from Tennessee.
Yep.
And as I mentioned, David Pollock was one of the other ones. But another underrated one in here was before Jalen Hurts, there was Jalen Hurd, the running back from Tennessee. Was pretty good.
He was okay.
Yeah, he wasn't too bad. And then Courtney Brown from Penn State, who was taken, I believe, number one overall in the 2000 draft.
He was.
And
Courtney with an I, by the way, then the name.
No, I think it's EY.
Sure?
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Okay.
So, but, I mean, he's no Vontae Mack, but the Browns got a good one there.
Right.
By the way, someday we're going to spend a whole episode breaking down Draft Day because that's how good that movie was.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about Vontae Mack.
Is it bad that I pointed out of that movie that there was a member of the Bills front office in that movie? An actual member of the Bills front office?
That's why this podcast is perfect, so we can nerd out about things like that. In this year's Outback Bowl, we've got Ole Miss against Indiana, and Indiana's an 8.5-point favorite. That's about, Sagarin's got him by about 7. You know my deep love for the Hoosiers. So.
And that's where you stopped there, Ole Miss.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to take Ole Miss?
You see how many points they put against Alabama?
You see how many
45?
You see how many games they won this year? Foe.
Doesn't matter. They can score.
All right. I'm not going against my Hoosiers.
Indiana, their quarterback's decent, but he's not the best quarterback in the world. And Ole Miss is they score a lot of points. So
you're going to base it on that?
Yeah, I am.
Really? Okay. Well, that's fine.
If this is a shootout, Ole Miss is going to win it. So because.
Okay.
I'll
I guess I'm a little surprised you went with them that quickly.
I'm desperate here, okay?
Well, I understand that.
I'm desperate.
But I'm going Hoosiers.
There's nothing to do with a high school basketball game. It's still great. The song's still great.
But this was just on the other night, too. So, and Jimmy Chitwood still made the shot, by the way.
Still. Hickory!
Hickory 42, South Bend Central 40, the greatest game ever played in Indiana high school.
The game was tied. It could have been like down one or something.
Right. Jimmy Chitwood from the top of the key. Can you imagine if Jimmy Chitwood would have been able to shoot threes?
Again.
He just scored 100 points.
How about 2K? Have you ever heard about Jimmy Chitwood card in the game?
That's so great. That would have been
Jesus Shuttlesworth.
He's so great. We'll have to break down fictional basketball players at some point. PlayStation Fiesta Bowl, if you can find a PlayStation, good luck.
PS5 or Xbox.
Yeah, whichever. I liked it better when it was the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, and Brent Musburger would talk about us for all the Tostitos. It was so good. It's one of the best lines I've ever heard.
I swear Kirk wasn't giggling when he said that.
Which is also, I believe, the game that A.J. McCarron's now wife, Catherine Webb, was made famous.
That was the national championship game.
Was it? Yeah. Wasn't that in the Fiesta Bowl?
No, it was in Miami Gardens.
Okay, kind of forget everything I said. You better cue the music up, because you know who another MVP of this game was?
Trace McSorley.
Yes. So you may play it one more time. Okay. All right.
It's all right.
Some pretty good names have been in this game, of course, that have been MVPs. Marcus Allen, not the one you're thinking of, safety from Penn State, also was, again, offensive and defensive guys here. Okay, we're done with that now. Lord. Cleveland Farrell, Deshaun Watson, Eli Apple, JT Barrett, some of your recent MVPs, Marcus Mariota, Landry Jones, Colt McCoy, still around. Jared Zabransky, remember him from Boise?
Yes.
Your boy from Boise State?
The Boise State for the win. Yeah. They handed off to Johnson. Stop. Boise State has won the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Seriously. Alex Smith, A.J. Hawk, Craig Krenzel, Joey Harrington, who is best known in the year for calling the Bison Kansas State upset.
Oh, boy.
And Eric Crouch, Michael Bishop, Tommy Frazier. Cordell
what
slash.
Did, what did Tommy Frazier do in the NFL?
What did Tommy Frazier do in the NFL? Yeah. Don't blink. Nothing.
He wasn't an NFL prospect.
No, he had an injury. He had a blood clot, and I think it was, I think he had Crohn's disease.
Oh.
Maybe that says
it. That's too bad.
Yeah. He was not drafted due to a blood clot in his left leg, a side effect of Crohn's disease.
So he would have been a really good NFL player.
Well, I don't know. He was one of those option guys that you like, I don't know. But he did do some coaching.
But he had the size to do it, that's for sure.
Yeah. He coached for a while.
That's too bad.
But he didn't really go. Anyway, Fiesta Bowl, Oregon and Iowa State. Oregon at 4-2, seriously, won the Pac-12. Iowa State 8-3. Iowa State a 4-point favorite, a 3-point Sagarin favorite. I'm taking Iowa State. There's no way I'm picking.
Yeah, I'm not taking Oregon. I think Iowa State's going to be a little bitter off that Oklahoma loss.
More than likely. Let's go to the Orange Bowl, the Capital One Orange Bowl now.
That's what it should always be called, the Capital One.
It should always be the Capital One Orange Bowl.
If it's just the Orange Bowl, it's got to be played at the Orange Bowl. But the Orange Bowl doesn't exist.
Tua, Dalvin Cook, Deshaun Watson,
any South Floridian,
Andrew Luck, Akib Talib, my boy Akib Talib, Leinart, Carson Palmer.
Akib Talib went to Kansas.
Right. One of the few legitimate football players they've ever generated. Charlie Ward was MVP twice.
What, that recent quarterback was any good?
Who?
Reising, their quarterback?
Who?
Isn't Tommy Reising?
Oh, for God's sake, I don't know. It's Kansas football. Nobody cares. Okay. All right. Other great ones here, Johnny Rogers, the old Nebraska running back. Spencer Tillman, who used, instead of working with Tim Randall, was running the ball. J.C. Watts, congressman from Oklahoma. Bereshims, one of the greatest running backs. Leroy Selman, who's dominating in my Madden defensive line at this point. So, some good ones here. And some guy named Namath.
He was
all right.
I have a Skyward trading card.
Texas A&M is a 7.5-point favorite and ranked number 5 against North Carolina here. A&M's good. And being 7.5, Sagarin thinks they're about 6.5. I'm taking A&M.
I'm taking A&M too. But I think A&M would be pissed that they weren't included in the playoff.
Probably.
But that begs the question. Expand it?
Another day to talk about that. But yes.
How many?
But I like the 6-team idea, but it'll never happen. We'll have to go to 8.
But but the contract is for 4 until 2026.
We'll have to explore that on a later show because I don't know the specifics of it anyway. Let's get to the CFP.
The best CFP.
The big games. Semifinal number 1. Which is like the Roman Coliseum being open up to the slaughter.
Like we say with NDSU games, this is like pick the score kind of game. Alabama by how much?
It might be. Notre Dame, number 6 in the Sagra, number 4 in the polls, against number 1 Alabama, 11-0, number 1 and a 15-point favorite in the Sagarin, which is a 20-point line in Vegas.
First SEC team to be undefeated, to beat every SEC
team. And to beat everybody. Not just somebody, but everybody. All comers. If they win the national title, they will have beaten every SEC school. They will have beaten the co-champions of the ACC, and they might beat both ACC champions.
Or beat the
Big Ten champion as well. So that's not bad. The Rose Bowl game presented by Capital One, which really isn't being played at the Rose Bowl, but being played at Arlington.
Just call it the Cotton Bowl, too.
Alabama's going to kill them.
Yep.
And
as a Notre Dame supporter,
I mean, honestly, Ian Book, the backup quarterback job in Buffalo is going to be great. And I love my Irish, but they got no shot. Devontae Smith is going to win the Heisman Trophy. He's going to be the best player on the field. Ian Book isn't even the best quarterback in this game. Mac Jones is better. I think the Notre Dame offense, as good as it's been at times, you can show that they just go through stretches where they just frustrate you, and Alabama will bury them. Give me Alabama minus the 20.
Think of the games like first half, it's like Pittsburgh and Louisville. They just sucked in first half.
Alabama wins it by 20.
Right.
No question.
I have my doubts with Mac Jones because he's like, he might be like a game manager. He might be like A.J. McCarron, who wasn't the best quarterback, but he was still a good game manager. He's more than that. He's letting it fly.
Yeah, I mean, he's the real deal.
Yeah. So he might be a late first round pick, but he might be like, who needs a quarterback in a late first round? But
so we're both on Alabama minus 20. Yeah, all right, there's not much point in going into this one any further. The more intriguing game is the All-State Sugar Bowl, the evening semifinal. Ohio State ranked third, 2 in the Sagarin, against Clemson. Clemson, a 7.5-point favorite, ACC co-champion, or ACC champions, I should say, regular season co-champions. Sagarin ranked number 3. This is a dead even Sagarin game.
Dead even, huh?
But Clemson is a 7.5-point favorite in Vegas. And I don't think they trust Ohio State, having only played 6 games and struggling, to put it kindly, in the Big Ten title game with the aforementioned Northwestern.
Good
defense,
though. That's a good
defense. It's a good team. How good is Clemson's defense? It may not matter. But if Ohio State shoots themselves in the foot like that, I think they're going to have problems. I'm taking Clemson minus the 7.5.
They're 0-3 or is it 0-4 against Clemson? I can't remember how many times they've played them. However, give me the Buckeyes.
Really? That's a total desperation pick on your part.
They got to beat them at some point. So
this is going to be the year, huh?
Yes, it is.
Well, Trevor Lawrence has already had COVID, so he ain't coming out of this one. Hate to tell you this.
Doesn't bother me.
I'm just checking the line.
I
still
it.
7.5.
I get so. It. You know, it's a rallying cry and all this other stuff. But at some point, it's just like, you know what? And Dabble had you ranked outside the top 10. He doesn't think you belong in this college football playoff.
He's right, but not maybe that they don't belong.
Okay, who goes in their place then?
Well, no, I'm saying he was right about having them ranked lower, but they belong in the playoff.
Right. And I'm just like, you know what?
You hate Dabo anyway. So
I hate him to begin with.
Yeah. All right, so you're on Ohio State?
Right.
Okay.
No, Ohio State regardless. So okay. if we're tied going into the national championship game, so be it. But.
Well, that might be the case. So Outback, though we differ on the Outback Bowl, you're taking Ole Miss, I'm taking Indiana minus 8.5. I'm taking Clemson minus the 7.5, and you have Ohio State. So it's possible we could be tied or it could be going into the national title game. It's a one game, could be a playoff where you're forced to pick. We're forced to pick opposite on that one. So we'll see what happens. A lot of good football I had this weekend to be played, and a lot of bowl games to watch, and we'll start it all off tomorrow. Last show of the year, last segment of the year, just real quickly. Grant and I decided we'd pick each one sports person of the year. I already told Grant who mine was, and I don't know his, so I'm gonna give it to Grant just to see who he's going to say.
I've thought a lot about this, but...
One person that identifies the sports year for you as the greatest accomplishment or whatever.
LeBron.
Okay.
I know you.
And
like,
that's fair.
You don't like LeBron. I get it, because of the Black Lives Matter stuff. But I'm just like, you know what?
No, but that's fair.
No, but also because of think of what this man has to do. He's in the bubble for a couple months and away from your family and all other stuff. Wins a championship, right? And then over 70 days later, he plays a new regular season again. just that alone, him or Anthony Davis to make me my sports person of the year. Because of us, the challenges of playing in the bubble, playing, you know, your 10 regular season games and all your playoff games, you're exhausted as hell getting out of Orlando, then you gotta go right back to your regular season with no fans and nothing. LeBron, easy.
Mine is also an NBA player, but not the one you might be thinking of, and it's Rudy Gobert. And because, if you remember, and I distinctly remember this night, clear as a bell in my head, because I was sitting in my office chair watching that game that got called off.
The Thunder Jazz game.
Yeah, and then, of course, Gobert tests positive, and that was really, I think, the first, like, oh shit moment of the whole corona period.
Yeah, because I think Sacramento and the Pelicans were after that, and they were, you know, Richard Jefferson and Dave Pasch were going to call the game, and the game, they're like, we don't know what's going to happen, the game was called off, we're like, oh no, things are going down.
And Mark Cuban's on the phone during the game, and it was just surreal, but Gobert is the guy I remember, and of course he had all the, you know, you remember when he was tapping the microphone and doing all that stuff. One of the COVID-iots, they called it. And then, you know, Donovan Mitchell got it because of him. And then they had to go back and forth on that whole thing. And so maybe for all the wrong reasons, and maybe just because he was kind of the first guy that was acknowledged to be that way, Rudy Gobert is my sports person of the year. Just, again, strictly in terms of what it all led to in 2020 from my point of view. So, yeah, basketball players definitely dominated that. Right. But, man, what a year it's been.
I mean, I could say Alex Smith, too, but...
Well, if anybody's the best story of the year...
Alex Smith.
There isn't any question that...
I mean, just give him the Comeback Player of the Year trophy now. I mean, seriously, the man deserves any award you can give him right now. I mean, really.
And the beauty of Alex Smith that, again, we'll find out on Sunday night, but he may... And despite whatever you think of Washington possibly making the playoffs with a losing record, I will be rooting for Washington if he is the starting quarterback, just because story.
This is weird to say, but they earn that playoff spot.
They will have if they win.
It's not just because they beat the Eagles and they clinched the division, but they damn earned a playoff spot. Smith, you earned a playoff spot.
Yeah, and you earned a spot, I think, in a lot of people's 2020 list. If a guy can overcome that, we could certainly throw a mask on or stay put for a couple more months. That guy's been through, like, what, 130 leg surgeries or whatever the hell. Stupid number it was. Like, so give him the SB. They don't even need to have the show. They could just rerun that 30 for 30, not whatever it was, the chapter, what'd you call it? Project 11 or whatever it's called. Yeah. It's one of the... If you're bored this weekend, a New Year's weekend, and don't have anything else to watch, or you're tired of watching bowl games, pull that one up. Project 11 is compelling television to watch how basically they rebuilt the entire guy's life. Not just his leg, but his life. It's pretty amazing stuff, and I think we could all use a little inspiration at the end of 2020.
Right.
As far as that's concerned. Grant, I'm going to give you one last chance. Anything else you want to change, switch, or talk about before we put 2020 in the books?
No. I'm sticking my guns.
We're good to go?
I'm sticking my guns. Please bring Bison football back. Thank you.
And Bison basketball, by the way, on the road at Western Illinois this weekend.
They
will sweep both those games. All right.
And the Bison women, so they're also...
Yes, the women, again, we'll see if Jory Collins can continue the amazing run that they've had.
Just give them the coach of the year now.
That's probably accurate. That's it. We're out of time in 2020. We got to go make pizza rolls. So, hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com to find links to all our previous shows. All the things we had to say about 2020 and why Coastal Carolina will suck now forever and always. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat, @legend1. Follow me on TikTok, @legend. Follow us on Instagram, @legend_loudmouth_pod. @legend_loudmouth_pod. Give us a like, to hate the show, we don't care, so please subscribe to YouTube channel.
That's it. Yeah. 2020 is gone. Next time we talk to you on the other side, it'll be 2021. From all of us here at the Legend in the Loudmouth, sound engineer Ben, the legend Grant Hubbard, myself, Mark Hubbard, we wish you and yours the very best of New Year's. Stay safe when you celebrate. Enjoy the bowl weekend, and we'll be back here for the first Monday of 2021 to break it all down for you. Happy New Year, everybody, from the legend and the Loudmouth.